Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart. And you know how the fitness business just seems impossibly competitive? Well, today I've got a story for you of a nerd who, despite all that competition, built a profitable business by blogging about fitness. Steve Kam is the founder of Nerd Fitness, a site that helps the average Joe and desk jockey get in shape. I invited him here to talk about all the things that you, if you're considering blogging, are going to want to hear about, like how he got his traffic, how he got revenue, how he built up the community, and so on. And we'll also find out about his background. And it's all thanks to this man right here, Walker Corporate Law. Excuse me, that's not the man. That's his firm. Scott Edward Walker is his name. His firm is available at Walker Corporate Law. This is actually just a prop right now. I don't have any water or anything in it. I'll fill it up. And while I do, Steve, why don't we go directly to the money question? What kind of revenue can you pull in from a fitness blog?
Sure. Well, I'm proud to say that last year we closed just it was like a few bucks shy of $500,000 last year. And, you know, it's funny, more money than I've ever could have expected to ever make from this site. And yet there was still that little tiny part of me that was like, man, couldn't get to 500, huh? So gives me something to shoot for this year, I guess.
I'm looking around. I don't see women, pool, Lamborghinis, mansion or anything. What have you bought for yourself with all this success?
Today, actually, I just got back from getting a haircut specifically for you, Andrew. I wanted to make sure I looked good for this interview. And I bought some new socks, so thought that was a pretty big splurge on my part. Beyond that, honestly, I've tried to maintain my life is really not very different now than it was 2 years ago. Before I was making a really great living, and I think it's just really important for me to stay grounded and to make sure that money goes to important things, whether it's donating more money to charity or on more exciting, travel experiences. I've just come to learn over this past few years of traveling and adventuring that experiences trump possessions 99 times out of 100. So life is really no different. It's just kind of a fun way to see, like, hey, this business is working really well and it's helping a lot of people get healthy.
You know, I'm looking at myself here as we talk in that little window that Skype gives me that shows me what I look like. And I'm thinking, this guy got a haircut. I'm still in a t-shirt. I thought that the t-shirt looked so much better in person. I'm going to put a real shirt. If you're going to dress up for me, I'm going to dress up for you, my friend. Let's get nice. Look good. Here we go. I always work in t-shirts. Nice shirt. I can't deal with long sleeve shirts, but for interviews, I should put them on. I think it makes me look like a man as opposed to a little boy.
That's right. I'm rocking a t-shirt too. So, but
it's, you're kind of rocking it because you're fit. I saw photos of you without a shirt on. I get it. Let me see if I understand your background. You're not a nerd now.
Oh, I'm always a nerd.
You feel like you still are.
Absolutely.
What makes you a nerd? You seem like an okay guy, all put together.
Well, I think nerd is a term that, there are a million different kinds of nerds. Personally, I've built my own computer. I'm a huge bookworm. I love Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. I'm a huge gamer. I just have also chosen to try to improve my life from a, appearance perspective, and even worked on like social skills and things like that. So it's funny. I do actually, when I got my haircut today, the lady was like, "You're not a nerd." I was like, "Oh, do you want to, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to get into Star Wars trivia, or what do you want to do?"
See, so, okay.
So I'm proud to say that I am a nerd.
But it's, you were just in construction before this, right?
I'm sorry?
You were in construction before this?
Yeah, actually, my first job out of college, I was a salesman for a construction equipment company. So I had a company truck, and I had a hard hat, and I'd go around to job sites and try to sell forklifts and jackhammers and all sorts of equipment that I had very little experience in working with and selling. So that was a fun couple years of my life for sure.
Is this the company that outfitted you with GPS? Outfitted your car with the GPS?
Oh God. Yeah, that was the moment I knew I had to leave. So I had just been promoted to outside sales, and the reason I was promoted is because the guy that was in front of me walked in one day and quit and threw his keys at the boss, and there was nobody else for them to hire. So the boss then flipped the keys to me and says, "You're now officially an outside salesman. Go get him." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then about a week later, the company let us know that they had installed GPS devices on every truck, every sales truck, and they were I remember getting a phone call from my boss at 7:05 in the morning because he told me, he said, I can still see your truck is parked in front of your apartment. You're supposed to leave by 7. Why are you still at home? Wow. And that's when I was like, there is no way in hell I'm going to do this for another 40 years of my life. So actually what I did, I was so miserable with this job, and this will speak more to my nerd qualities here too, but I would drive to different job sites, and then as I would get there, I would get rejected for the particular thing I was trying to sell to this company that wanted nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And then I would sit in my car and try to like recoup, and I would sit in my car for about 10 minutes at each job site and read Harry Potter, because that was when the 7th book had just come out, and I was like, I have to get through this. So, but I knew that my boss was tracking me, and I was like, this is miserable. Like, if I can get through my job in 2 hours and do better than everybody else, but you know, I'm not driving around for 8 hours hitting up different spots, then you know it wasn't going to work. So that was definitely the wake up call that sales and having Big Brother watch over my shoulder all day every day was not for me, for sure.
You bought your domain Nerd Fitness and you sat on it for a year before you launched it. Why'd you wait so long?
I got my college degree in economics. I had always been a huge fan of health and fitness. I had been training in a gym since I was 16, trying to get strong and healthy. But it was always just like a kind of a hobby, a fun passion of mine, but not something I ever really seriously considered as a business. So when I had the idea to start Nerd Fitness as a website, I wasn't quite sure how I was going to make revenue with it. I wasn't sure if people were going to respect and trust the message that I was presenting. You know, it just assumed like, if I don't have 10 different certifications, who is going to listen to me as a personal trainer? Who's going to read my website and think that I know what I'm talking about? So I spent that next year, actually, I quit the sales job in San Diego and had moved to Atlanta to take a much better job for way less money, but I was happy. And while I was there, started officially getting certified as a personal trainer, because that's what I thought I needed. So I wanted to more give myself the confidence to start writing and things like that. It wasn't until I started really that honestly people respected and trusted my authority, specifically because I came from outside of the fitness realm and that I didn't have those certifications. That I was
but
more
didn't
regular.
You need the certifications? I mean, I looked at the early version of your site. You mentioned the certification. It gave you confidence, and it gave people who are reading your site confidence. Here, look. Hi, I'm Stephen Kam. I'm Steve Kam, and I'm a AAAI certified personal trainer living in Atlanta, Georgia. I currently work full time at Sixth Man. So, the first thing you say is certification. So, you thought it was valuable at the time. Do you still think that it was valuable to start off with that?
You know, I think the certification, not specifically the certification, but more, I think maybe the confidence it gave me to finally hit publish and start. So I think that certification, and it was a certification I earned in a weekend, you know, and now looking back, like I know other people that have those certifications in commercial gyms and they are not qualified to be teaching people. Like it's really unfortunate that the state of the personal training industry, but honestly, I think it was very important for me to kind of earn that certification and see something that told me like, hey dude, you kind of do know what you're talking about. You have been studying and working on this stuff for 6 years. At least you now have a piece of paper that you can point to while you're trying to get your name established so that people can learn and respect you. And it's funny now, if you go to my website, the first thing I put on there, it's like the third or fourth paragraph. It says, I am not an expert. You know, I don't even talk about my certification anymore because I didn't feel like that was an important part to who I was and the message and the value that I was going to bring to the audience.
Steve, someone's listening to us and says, I'd like to start creating this career for myself on blogging, on writing, and I'm holding back. Would you advise them to publish anyway or to go and find some BS certification that will give them confidence and make people care about what they have to say?
That's a great question, honestly. I mean, I think it depends on the industry. I think for me personally with fitness, I felt like that certification gave me the confidence to start getting published. The truth of the matter is, in my first 9 months of writing, not very many people were reading anyways. So I think I probably could have given myself a much longer or a much faster start had I spent, instead of that taking that entire year to freak out, if I had taken that year to maybe even start writing and chronicling my journey with, hey, I've been reading and studying this stuff for 6 months, 10 years at that point. I'm also going to get a certification. This is the path that I'm on. And then once getting that certification, continuing further. So I think the biggest thing that hold people back is they're terrified that people are going to read the worst. I mean, the best thing that could happen to them is they publish and somebody's actually going to read it. You know, when you first start, nobody's really reading anyway. So I think it's important to kind of get those first couple months under your belt, out of the way. And as I think Jonathan Fields says, talks about building a crappy guitar, like you got to kind of build a couple crappy guitars at first when nobody's reading to, or nobody's watching, whatever, until you get to that point where you start to feel more confident about it.
Okay. I think I'm getting it. So yes, getting a crappy certification is one option, especially if you can do it in a weekend. So much the better, but maybe even just start and allow yourself to build towards it, or towards just let people watch a journey of a novice. And that in itself is valuable.
Sure. And honesty. I mean, I think so many people these days are gurus of everything, and they attain this personal trainer, or they attain some, like you said, some BS certification, and then they think they're God's gift to the audience. You know, I went about it from a different direction and more just like a, hey guys, I'm here to help. I love helping people. This is the method that I feel like I can best contribute to you. I am still learning. I will always be learning, but I have no doubt in my mind that, you know, I will work tirelessly to try to help you on your path. And I think that honesty and transparency is really valuable as well.
Okay. So you finally launched. Clearly it's a WordPress site. I went onto that WordPress site and looked on the very bottom. Let me see where my notes are. And saw Vigilance Theme by Gestro. So you just used a free theme.
Yeah, I used a free theme for, wow, I think it was over about... I think just over 2 years, to be honest with you. I'm not a coder. I'm not a designer. Like I said, for me being a nerd, it is not in the backend coding part of it or graphic design. It's so I just used a free template and trusted in the fact that my content was going to be the differentiator between the business and between myself and the millions of other fitness sites out there.
And it looks like it. It looks like a straight up blog. Doesn't even try to pretend to be something that it's not, like a magazine or anything. Doesn't even, frankly, try to pretend to look pretty. Did you feel Did you feel any hesitation about launching with this thing that wasn't beautiful?
No, honestly, I think for me the launch was more important than waiting until everything was perfect. As you see now, the site is way different than it was when I started. I've gone through 3 or 4 transformations of the site since then. The second of which was actually done by a guy who did it for free because he emailed me and said, "Steve, your site is so archaic that I love what you're doing. I love the content, but it needs an update. So I'm going to fix it and make it pretty for you for free." So, but that wasn't until 2 years after I had started. I think the just getting started, and that's everybody's hesitation. They need, I need to have social media set up properly, and I need to know if I'm going to be tweeting 4 times a week or what time articles are going to be published. It's like, don't worry about that small stuff. Just like with fitness, don't fret about like teeny tiny changes here and there. The important thing is getting started, because you learn so much along the way, and then you just adapt and evolve as things progress, and you learn who's reading your site, what's important to them, and the best way you can help them, and thus the best way you can help yourself grow.
Let's take it slowly, because I want to understand how you did that. It was very deliberate for you to figure out who you're writing for. But in the beginning, did you decide you were going to write on a regular basis, 5 days a week, every single week?
To start, I did, and I did that because I read other popular fitness websites, and they had content published 5 days a week. So I thought to myself, and I had no clue what I was doing really when I started. It's like, I'm just, okay, they write 5 times a week, so I'm going to write 5 times a week. And at this point, I was still working my full-time job. So I would work all day long, come home every night, write an article, hit publish the next morning, generally pretty bleary-eyed because I wasn't sleeping.
How did you know what to write about?
At first, I wrote about the things I thought I was supposed to write about.
For example?
And then as slowly... people trickled into the website and they would leave comments and say like, "Oh, I really appreciated this article," or something. I would email them directly, that one person, and say, "What are you struggling with? And how did you find Nerd Fitness?" You know, and they say like, "Oh, I found it through a friend," or "I found it through whatever. And I'm really struggling with weight loss, or I really need a workout plan to follow," or something. So as people would tell me what they were struggling with, I would then just create content around those things. There's only like 6 people reading it first, so it wasn't tough to keep
but
those people happy.
I see here, the very first post is Nerd Fitness Begins. Terrific. You're explaining what you're trying to do. Second is Food, Best, and Worst. I'm a picky eater. It sucks. In my quest to become healthier, I've tried analyzing what I need to eat and what I don't need to eat in order to increase muscle mass and decrease body fat. And you go on from there. That gives us a sense of what that was. Then you go into Sweat Into the Oldies, where you write about that, I guess, Richard Simmons CD. No, actually, just exercise in general. And you use Sweat Into the Oldies as a hook. How did you know to write about those? Was it just when you say I wrote about what I'm supposed to write? I think I need a little more understanding because It is so daunting to look at a blank page and say, I'm going to fill this up with something that the rest of the world is going to want to read.
Sure. Well, you know, with Nerd Fitness being a site specifically dedicated to nerds and myself being a nerd, I honestly thought to myself, what are things that I'm excited to learn about or things that I want to learn more about? You know, what are things I want to learn more about, things that I'm struggling with personally. So it's like, okay, well, let's really dig into this, something I've never done before. Let's really dig into how a nutrition label on the back of a, you know, on the back of a box, actually, what does everything on that mean? So then I would do like a research on that subject and then write about it. But just writing about that stuff in general is pretty boring. So I thought, like, how am I going to make this article interesting and exciting for me to write, let alone have somebody actually enjoy reading it? So I just started kind of sticking my personality and injecting a little bit of that here and there into it, whether it's, like you said, you know, with Richard Simmons or mixing in, I think I wrote an article about The Legend of Zelda to begin with. I mixed in articles about Super Mario, just things that I thought to myself, like, this sounds like something exciting to me and something that I'm actually going to enjoy writing. And I noticed, you know, half of my articles were things like, I should probably write about this. And the other half were things like, this is really interesting to me. And the ones that were really interesting to me, not surprisingly, became the articles that were really quality. And those are the ones that brought in the readers. And the other ones that were kind of boring, my lack of interest showed through in those articles. And those didn't, you know, get as much traction either.
This one here with the heavy kid holding the popsicle crutching, is that you?
No, that's not me.
Okay. That's the only, I was looking here for any posts that got comments to just get a sense of how people responded. Dude, there's nothing. No one was commenting.
In 9 months, 5 articles a week, I had 90 email subscribers. 90. After publishing, what it was like 100 articles or something, I had 90 emails. And that was like 90 email and RSS. I didn't even have like an email list yet. I was just using Google Feed Burner or something. So it was 9 months of struggle for sure.
I shouldn't say actually no one commented. This one of the kids striking a pose got you 4 comments. One is, has popsicle. The other is, he just ate Mario. Where can I get that Flamin' Rocket hamburger tea? I guess that's a shirt that one of the people's, the girl in the background's wearing. Didn't you get discouraged? Didn't you say, hey, you know what? I put out a minimum viable product here, right? Just a simple blog. No one's looking at it. Product failed. Let's go back to GPSing my car. Whatever. What else do I have? But didn't you feel that way?
Yeah, I think at some points I did, but honestly, like, I knew I had something. I just knew I hadn't found the way that I was going to impact people properly yet. So, like, I felt like these moments were the moments that I had to go through to kind of work out my message and work out the way that I was going to present the content through Nerd Fitness. And, you know, if I go back and read, like, a lot of those early articles, like, I have to, like, I cringe almost at, like, the content I was putting out. But I knew I had to go through that struggle. But to be honest with you, I was hooked from that very first email I received from a complete stranger that said, like, hey, man, I just stumbled across Nerd Fitness. Like, I love your article about Legend of Zelda. I'm going to subscribe. And, you know, I'm in the process of losing 40 pounds. And, you know, I've been following it for a week and I'm already down my first 2. Just want to say thanks. Like, as soon as I got one of those, like, nice emails from somebody that I had never met before, and that wasn't from my mom or my grandma, who were my first 2 fans, I was hooked.
I know what you mean. I remember when the first compliments came in, I would read them to Olivia and say, Olivia, check this out. Look at what this person... Like, to me, it was the greatest thing ever that someone loved.
It's still, the fact that anybody reads anything I write is still amazing to me. So
I will actually still take screenshots and email it to Olivia. Check this out.
I have a folder in my Gmail that says, I think it's just called Motivation. And it's just anytime anybody says something nice, like, I have to keep that folder around because as Nerd Fitness has grown, obviously there are people that don't agree with what I'm saying and are not so nice about it. So I have to kind of keep an eye on those things to remind me, like, you are doing a good thing for a lot of really you know, for good people and to not forget that. So yeah, that first email was, I was hooked. I was like, if I can find one person, then I can find five. If I can find five, then I can find 10.
I feel that way too when I get started. Most people will not feel that way, and then they'll stop. They'll say, I can't even find 10. If they could find five, they sell it. I can't find 10. If they can find 10, they say, I can't find 100. It's time to move on. All right. So I see your motivation. I see what keeps you going. But frankly, you can't take complimentary emails to the grocery store. You can't feed yourself on that. We have to figure out then how you went to the next level. Mm-hmm. And it was finding traffic came from writing outside of your site. Am I right?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment for sure. I had been a huge fan of Brett McKay from theartofmanliness.com.
I love that guy, yes.
Oh, he's the best. He's like the world's most interesting man with a great mustache. Like, he's just one of those dudes that you interact with and you're just like, I want to be your best friend. He's kind of like Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation. Just like a man's man, just like a really good
dude. You know,
dude.
I got to tell you that I do love him, but frankly, I don't care. What I care about is, here's the part that I love that makes me really care. If I have to do brunch, I will go and look for recipes online for how to do it. Uh-huh. All of it is above me and beyond me, and I can't do it. But if I go directly to his site or do a Google search, site:artofmanliness.com and brunch,
yep,
recipe, then I got something that I can actually use. Then I feel like I can kiss that guy with his mustache right on the lips.
Right.
So I can hang out with him and other people all day, but really when it comes down to it, I'm the kind of person who it's like, what is in it for me? How do I improve my life? And he does. So, all right. So you see him doing well and you do what?
I see him doing well. I saw the community that he was building and he just seemed like this really honest, ethical, just seemed like a good guy. And I was like, this is a guy that I would love to send an email to and just say like, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing. So like, out of the blue, I just emailed, I think it was like Art of Manliness at Brett@artofmanliness.com.
Yeah, he's got a very easy to find email address.
Some basic, you know, contact form. I was just like, hey, Brett, my name's Steve. I just want to let you know, man, I'm a huge fan of your website. Both my grandparents fought in World War II, and, you know, what you've been writing and how you've been writing has just been really inspirational for me. And he emailed back to say that, oh, I really appreciate it. Thanks, man. And what are you working on? And blah, blah, blah. So we just started bouncing emails back and forth for a couple of months, to be honest with you. And then it finally got to the point where one of the times he emailed me and said, oh, Steve, by the way, like, I saw your email address was steve@nerdfitness. I clicked through to your website because I thought the name is unique. He's like, I really love what you're doing. And this was after I had shifted my writing focus from five crappy articles a week to two really long, in-depth articles.
So that was actually a big thing for you. Instead of short, why was long better?
I decided that my short articles were not, you know, I felt like there's like this kind of critical mass where if this is the line, anything above this line in popularity gets shared by a bunch of people. My little articles were just kind of like little tiny waves, whereas if I could write two really big articles that could last and be around for years and be full of content and full of nerdy references and full of personality, I might discourage the people that love to skim articles and just quickly move on to the next one but never actually follow through with it, and instead kind of filter them out and instead encourage people that are interested in a subject to really dig in deep and learn everything they need to know about it and give them the confidence to actually follow through with it. So Nerd Fitness articles went from less than 500 words to anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 words. And I was publishing every Monday and Thursday due to, I think, Chris Guillebeau's publishing schedule was Monday, Thursday, and he was another guy I respected. So I was like, if he's doing Monday, Thursday, then maybe I should too.
I see. All right. And you know what? That answers another question for me about why longer articles do better, why they're preferred by people who I respect. You're right. I think that the smaller articles maybe get more attention because they're quicker reads. But someone who's not investing much time in reading it is not going to stick around. They're not going to bookmark it. You and I started this conversation with, actually, before we even hit record, I said that I went to search for your name in my Evernote, and what I came up with was this article that I saved twice where you described how you got enough frequent flyer miles from credit cards to fly all over the world for, like, what, $400 or something, right? Yep. And because it was such a long article, I saved it, and I got it still in my Evernote. If it was a shorter article, more people might have read it, but they wouldn't have saved it. Okay, so I get that. All right, now you're going back to him, and is he suggesting to you that you write on his site, or are you suggesting to him? He is.
He suggested to me. He said, Steve, I just finally clicked through to your site, and at this point, it'd probably been about a month or so in my new style of writing twice a week. And as soon as I was writing twice a week, like, the interaction between the audience and the support and the people that were sharing it, like, skyrocketed. So I was like, okay, clearly I'm finding something here. And then Brett said, Steve, I finally clicked through to your website. I read your past couple of posts. This is awesome, man. Like, I think you're doing a great thing, and I really love it. Let me know when you want to write a guest post for me. And that's kind of like that moment for me is like, okay, if this guy who's running a super successful website and is an incredible writer and has built a fantastic community says I'm doing something right, then I like my chances. So, okay, now I need to write a great article for him in order to not let him down. So actually, I spent like, I think 2 months maybe working on my guest post for him. I bounced back and forth with a couple different people and really reworked it and made sure it was great. And I think it was called 7 Reasons You Need to Rediscover Your Love for Exercise or something like that. And I remember when it got published, my subscriber count jumped from, I think it was like 700 to 1600 over like in 2 days.
Wow.
I mean, it really resonated incredibly well with his audience, and a whole bunch of them came over to Nerd Fitness. And I just
let me put a pin in that for a moment.
Sure.
Because that's important, but also just getting to guest blog is important. And I've noticed for myself, when I couldn't get interviewees to care about coming on to Mixergy and doing an interview here, I remember going to Pete Cashmore at Mashable and saying, can I take some of my interviews and rework them into blog posts on your site? He said yes. It gave me both attention and credibility, and it also allowed me to land better guests and traffic. We've done several courses here at Mixergy. Let me put a quick plug in for MixergyPremium.com, where we've talked about how to do guest blogging. But you took a less proactive approach than I thought. You waited a long time. You let him suggest it. Then you took a couple of months to write it. In retrospect, could you have gone to him and said, hey, I love your site. I've been doing these long posts. Can I post one of these 5 suggestions on your site? Are you interested? And then gotten the okay at that point?
You know, I probably could have. Again, I wasn't really sure what I was doing. I was still working the full-time gig. I was starting to gain more confidence in my writing ability and how Nerd Fitness was working. And so, to be honest with you, I probably could have. I took the longer approach. And fortunately, he asked. You know, I think it eventually would have got to the point where I said, "Hey, Brett, I have this great idea for an article," and I'm sure he would have said, "Absolutely, no problem." I was just, you know, I was still continuing to kind of hone my craft through Nerd Fitness and focusing on those things. But yeah, I think in retrospect, I probably could have reached out to him or written for a couple of other sites and then leveraged those guest posts maybe to then get to him. And yeah, I just didn't want to go about it. I don't want it to look like you're just kind of leveraging things to get to better things and other things. I was just like, hey, dude, I love what you're doing. And, you know, when he said, I want you to write for me, that was like the greatest thing that had ever happened to me at that point.
Okay. And Steve, I'm not judging you by any means and saying, why didn't you go faster? I'm trying to learn from your experience and saying to the audience, you could go faster than Steve. That if he's taking this long, you should learn from it and do it faster, especially if that's what you're telling us, Steve. All right, now back to subscriber. I had a conversation with John Corcoran from my audience and a good friend of mine who showed me behind the scenes how he takes a guest post, he's also written for The Art of Manliness, and converts it into both traffic and subscribers to his site. He really thinks this stuff through, and he made me realize that when I just sent articles to Pete, I wasn't leveraging it enough because I wasn't aware. You did something that allowed you to get subscribers from this opportunity. What did you do that allowed you to get both subscribers and others? I want to learn this.
Sure. Well, I think the thing that really worked in my favor, though I didn't realize it at the time, is I made sure I wrote for a site that was kind of in the same space as Nerd Fitness, but definitely not overlapping. I think far too many people make the mistake of like, oh, I run a fitness site and I need more fitness readers, so I'm going to go write guest posts for another fitness website.
Yes.
And then you have to convince those readers over there to stop reading that fitness website and start reading yours instead when they're already there. Instead, I went to an audience that some of them were probably interested in fitness, not all of them. I spoke to them in a language that they resonated with, and then when they came over to Nerd Fitness, if anybody left a comment, I was still emailing every single person that left a comment or emailed me back and said, like, I'm so thankful you're here. How did you find the site? And more often than not at that point, it was like, I came from Art of Manliness. I'm like, that's amazing. How else can I help you? And what else are you struggling with? So I really tried to push that engagement as much as possible for, you know, as soon as those people started coming over from Art of Manliness, to make sure that they felt wanted and loved and that I was going to take care of them.
I see that. Also, I wasn't ignoring you. I was looking to see, where did I find that article that you wrote? And it wasn't on a fitness site. It was on Gizmodo. That's where you wrote the post, How I Travel Around the World for $418. So not directly about fitness, not directly on a fitness website. And still, it caught my attention and it brought me into the fitness community. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that you were one of thousands from that Gizmodo article, which was really freaking cool and very unexpected. So that was a fun day for sure.
So let me go and now click over on your name and see if I can figure out how you capitalized on it. Shoot me an email. How many emails did you get from that?
500.
500. Okay, I would have thought more. How do you respond to 500 emails?
One at a time.
You just go in and you respond. Yeah. Okay, now let's see. Email's not going to add you to your subscriber base. Steve Kam is a nerd in chief of nerdfitness.com. That's hyperlinked. Oh, you can sign up for the Nerd Fitness newsletter here and follow him on Twitter. So that's another thing that we can learn from you. It's not just if you're guest blogging, have it credited to you with a link to your site, but have it credited to you with a link to your site and a membership, a link to the newsletter.
Get them any way you can get them. And then when you got them, take care of them.
Okay. Speaking of, if you got them, take care of them. I am not laughing when I say you only have four comments. I'm there and I recognize the struggle of it. What I want to highlight for the audience and what I thought was especially interesting about you is when someone commented in the early days, instead of saying, oh, only one, what did you do?
I was so excited. Like, I was so, I literally emailed them directly. And it wasn't even like they emailed me and emailed them back. They left a random comment on the website. And I was just like, and it wasn't a, hey, generic, like, thanks for leaving a comment. And the reason I did that, honestly, is because I had been a fan of Chris Hardwick, who now runs Nerdist.com. And he hosts the Talking Dead. And, you know, this really kind of famous guy that I had been a fan of forever. And I left a comment on his website right when I was starting Nerd Fitness, and he emailed me back directly. And I thought that was the coolest freaking thing in the entire world. And I will never forget that. And I will be a Chris Hardwick fan. You know, that dude can do no wrong in my eyes simply because he took the time to email me. Obviously now he's so much bigger that I doubt he's still doing that for his people. But I just thought that was awesome.
A personal email from you went to everyone who commented, just like you learned from him.
Yep.
Okay. So now we understand. We understand your approach with people, and I could see how you're creating a bond with them. So maybe you didn't have that many people, but they were becoming loyal because you were connecting with them. You were learning what they wanted, as you said earlier. Because you'd interact with them, they would give you a sense of what to blog about. I see where you got your traffic, blogging on other sites, and you're still doing it to this day. Now we're good. You're still working. 18 months in, you decide to quit your job because you're making how many thousands of dollars at that point?
Zero.
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 Why did you quit before you were making money?
Oh, for a couple of reasons. One, specifically the day job was starting to get way more stressful, and the job was actually really freaking cool. They put me in charge of, I helped work for a company that produced floating music festivals. So we would go down to the Caribbean and put 30 bands on a boat and turn it into a floating music festival for 5 days. I was in charge of two events coming up about 6 months after I had quit. And I knew Nerd Fitness was trending in the right, was starting to trend in the right direction. And the day job was also starting to get incredibly hectic. And honestly, I just had too much respect for the day job. And I felt like if I didn't quit at that point, then every day after that was going to put them in a worse position. When I finally did leave, and I knew Nerd Fitness at that point, like my passion in my head had switched from the job to Nerd Fitness. And I thought it was like the timing was right. I had a decent amount of money saved up. I had this idea, and I had enough people in the nerd fitness community that said, Steve, just give us fitness plans to buy, and we will buy them.
They specifically said, give us fitness plans.
I wrote an article called How to Build Your Own Workout Routine, and I got a dozen emails from people that said, dude, just tell me what to do, and I will do it. So after getting, a dozen from that one article, and then just every day, people was like, well, I want to do this and this and this, and I said, okay, I'll work on an ebook. And I started working on the ebook, and I had been working on it for months at that point, and I just wasn't getting any closer to completion. And then, like I said, the day job got to a point where I was like, if I don't leave now, I'm not going to be able to leave for another year, and then my time is just going to get too screwed up. I feel confident enough in the strength of this community that I can make this thing work. And hopefully it's this ebook. And if it's not, then I'll pick up a job as a barback, or I'll pick up a job mowing lawns. I don't care. But as long as
ready to be all in.
Ready to be all in. I knew it was trending in the right direction. I knew the numbers were growing. I know the audience was really passionate, really excited about the concept of nerd fitness. And I put it out there. I read an article called the first day of the rest of my life or something. And I was like, hey guys, just a heads up, like, today is my last day at my real job. Nerd fitness is now my full-time gig, which is funny because I don't actually make any money from it. But 1 month from now, I'm going to put out my first ebook. I would love it if you check it out. It'll come with a money-back guarantee for the rest of your life. Ultimately, I just want to help you get healthy. If you don't check it out, that's fine. I'll pick up another job and find another way to make the site work. But I don't want to do ads. I want to keep this between us. I want to make this about us, and I want to help you.
So you were priming the audience and putting some leverage on yourself, like really having them hold you accountable.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because if I failed, it's funny. I was actually sitting at a bar with my dad, and I said, Dad, I have to quit. And he goes, all right, do you have any money saved up? I'm like, a little. He goes, you have a backup plan? No. He goes, are you making any money with it yet? No. And he goes, all right, you'll figure it out. Good luck, man. You know, and like, he gave me that support, but I didn't have a plan B. I was like, I have no option but for plan A to work.
All right. Let me do a quick plug here. And actually, Steve, to be honest, I don't think that anyone who's listening to us who says, I want to follow in Steve's shoes and duplicate him, and I'm just learning here how to get started, or I'm in the early stages and I want to learn how to get my audience or get my profit, I don't know that they need to call Scott Edward Walker. I mean, frankly, it'd be great for me if they did, because then he'd love me and he'll want to sponsor more. But I have to still have integrity and be honest, and I don't think so. So you're a blogger. Do you think that at this stage in our story, you mm-hmm. needed a startup lawyer?
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
No. Lawyers, there were so many things that I put off. You know, so many people are so worried, like, oh, I need a lawyer. I need to hire a graphic designer. I need to hire this. I need to hire this person for all these things. And it's like, that is the final 5%. The other 95% is writing content, identifying an audience, taking care of those people that are finally discovering who you are and what you're offering. And that is so much more important and such a better use of your time, energy, and resources other than you know, all the other small, tiny things that you think are important.
All right. So there it is. Frankly, if you're at those stages, Scott is not the right guy for you. You don't need – I'm not going to tell anyone what they need or they don't. I will say that I'm not going to advise you to go get a lawyer at this stage if that's where you are. But if you're a tech entrepreneur with a company that's going to be funded, or an entrepreneur who's further along, or one who has some vision of the business beyond lifestyle and you're on a path to doing it, then – check out Scott Edward Walker of Walker Corporate Law. And the reason I recommend him is that his prices are reasonable. You know, I actually had an entrepreneur over, Steve, who got funding recently, and I asked him about his lawyer, and he told me, I don't even know what I'm paying him. So I said, do you have a sense of it? He goes, not really. I know it's in the tens of thousands of dollars. I said, why didn't you give him shares? That's a lot of money. He goes, because I'm not ready to part with more equity, and frankly, it's not my money. And if you're at that stage, again, Scott's not the right guy for you. But if you're an entrepreneur with more of a need to be careful with your money and a vision for growth, and you're on that path, I can't recommend another person who will take good care of you like Scott. Scott is in the tech community. He's, frankly, right here, just a few blocks away from me in San Francisco. He works with companies that are growing, and his prices are very reasonable, especially if you're just getting started. If you're curious, if that's where you are, go to just email him, actually. Scott@walkercorporatelaw.com. All right, so just bang my glasses here. So we're now at a place where you have to bring in money, which is good because that's what I want to talk about next. How long did it take you to finish writing that book?
After quitting and freaking myself out and spending every waking moment, I guess. Well, like I thought, waking moment, working on it. It took me about another month after I quit. So I used that month, you know, like I said, I announced on the site, I'm quitting. I'm putting an ebook out in a month. And I had spent that final month finishing writing the content, finishing filming all the exercise videos, getting all the diet information, et cetera, together. So yeah, it took me just about a month after I had quit the day job.
I see. All in, how long did it take you to write the book?
I want to say it's probably about 2 months worth of work. That second month had come over the previous 3 months or so. And then after, so what I did ultimately was I was still not confident and terrified of asking for people's money. So when I put it out, I was like, I'm going to put this out for 4 days and then I'm going to work with everybody that buys it and make it better. And then we'll finally put it out officially a month after that or 2 months later. So, you know, I was like, if I can sell like 40 of these things and make like $1,000 or $1,500 or whatever it was, like I would be over the moon ecstatic and whatever. And we ended up selling like 150 or 200 of them, in that first week. And, I think I broke down crying. Like I can't believe these ran. And I had a bunch of people that bought it that said, Steve, I don't even need this, man. It's just, there's no other way for me to actually support what you're doing other than buying this. So I'm going to give it to somebody else that can use
it.
What
was it in the book? Was it a list of training, instructions? What was in there?
Yeah, I think it was 6 months worth of exercise programming. So there was like level one and you go through a workout program for like 2 months and then you move on to level two and another 2 months, level three, level four, specific diet information, the entire Nerd Fitness philosophy. And it was all kind of condensed into a collection of PDFs and YouTube videos and things like that.
You already had the Nerd Fitness philosophy. What was it? It took me a long time to have the Mixergy philosophy.
Sure. Actually, there's a post on Nerd Fitness called The Rules of the Rebellion. And The Rebellion is the name of the Nerd Fitness community. And it's like the 11 things that we kind of stand by and lean on. But
I think you have a link to it right on the very bottom of every page, right? The Rebellion.
Yep. Yeah. Ultimately, it's you know, understanding that your diet is 80 to 90% of your success or failure. Eat real food. Exercise in a way that you actually enjoy. Yeah, so make sure you find things that make you happy, and then beyond that, strength training makes everything else better. So those are kind of the big things: is you know, making sure your diet is make sure you take care of your diet, make sure you have fun, and then find a way to mix some strength training in here and there.
Okay. The book starts to do well. What did you? What platform did you use to sell the book?
We used eJunkie.
eJunkie.
eJunkie is like 15, you know, $15 a month or $5 a month or whatever it was.
And you don't even need a credit card processing system. They will plug into your PayPal, right? Is that how they work?
Yep, we did only PayPal. I had a friend of mine who was actually one of my college roommates was a graphic designer, and I was like, "Hey man, can you take this Word document and try to make it look pretty?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'll see what I can do." And you know, so I leveraged any relationship I could to keep costs down because like, I didn't have a lot of money. I had probably maybe 2 months of runway.
But that's all it was, PDFs of what was a Word document.
Yeah.
Okay.
PDFs, and I think he charted it, you know, I think he used InDesign and made it look pretty good. But it was, yeah, just a very basic PDF and nothing special for sure.
You know, the intro that I gave you about how competitive fitness is and how tough it is to get into it didn't come out of thin air. I talk to people in my audience a lot, and there was one person specifically who was in the fitness business, and he was feeling like it's just crushing because there's so many competitors who have so much money and experience, and some of them are willing to go, you know, work black hat, do whatever. How did you compete with all those people?
I competed by doing everything the exact opposite of what everybody else in the fitness industry was doing. I don't use black hat tactics. I think so much in the fitness industry, it's like, you know, you build a website, you stick a bunch of ads on there for supplements and you tell them they need to buy this thing or they're not going to get healthy, and they prey on people's insecurities and they use fake before and afters, or they are very dishonest with people. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff sells. I didn't feel like those things literally make me sick. So I thought when I was building Nerd Fitness that there was an opportunity for me to be different And it would take me a lot longer to make a living and a lot longer to start building proper traffic. But I could do it by being that breath of fresh air, by being honest, by telling people you don't need a gym membership. That
supplements. How long did it take you to get to that, to live on? I know when you first sold the book, you earned enough money that you could survive for 2 months. You had a 2-month runway suddenly. But how long did it take you to get month to month enough money to live on, kind of like your salary?
I would say maybe I finally started to feel confident about 6 months in, 6 months after quitting. And during those 6 months, I was still trying to pick up any job, any odd job that I could here and there from previous work relationships just to
What's give the me oddest more. Job that you did?
I spent 2 nights painting the soundstage floor for one of Drake's music videos.
I got it.
From midnight until 5 in the morning on back-to-back nights, because it paid me like $200 each night. And I was like, this is great. That buys me another week and a half or 2 weeks of living. So I'll take whatever I can get.
Tell me if my research is right. I always like to tell people who I trust and who don't think that this stuff is a secret what my research is showing so that I can calibrate. What I'm seeing is that your organic search keywords, the ones that seem to send you traffic, are things like paleo diet, obviously Nerd Fitness does well for you, paleo in general does well, how to measure body fat, how to calculate body fat, how to run. Is this the kind of stuff, the kind of keywords that are sending you traffic today?
Yeah, big time. So I wrote an article back in 2010 called The Beginner's Guide to the Paleo Diet, because I'd read a couple books on it, started to do it, and it made sense to me, but I knew it was a very overwhelming topic for a lot of people. So I was like, well, let's just simplify it. Let's make one of those monster posts that I love to write, and let's take this really complex or seemingly complex topic and break it down into very simple terms with fun pictures and fun analogies and fun metaphors, and let's put it out there. And this article called The Beginner's Guide to the Paleo Diet did pretty well, brought in a decent amount of traffic. A lot of people started linking to it. And then about 2 years ago, Google changed their search algorithms. I think it was the Penguin update. And for whatever reason, Google loved Nerd Fitness traffic. So that article that I'd written 2 years prior suddenly jumped to number 3, I think, on if you search for paleo or paleo diet right
now. Number
3.
Number 1 is thepaleodiet.com. Number 2 is paleo diet, the entry in Wikipedia. And number 3 is you, nerdfitness.com.
I don't know anything about – I know very little about SEO. I don't do any sort of like try to game the system and get like people to link into it. I just wanted to write stuff that people were struggling with to tell them about it. So after seeing the success of this article, I then tried to leverage that by saying, like, what are some other really important topics that a lot of people are struggling with? Like, what is body fat percentage? Or, what's a beginner workout that I can follow? So those topics have now started to search incredibly well, we have started to rank incredibly well on Google, almost as a side effect of me trying to really focus on writing quality content.
I see. So there's nothing really that you can teach us about how to do it other than you created flagship articles about big topics that people care about, made them long, made them detailed, and that's where your traffic's coming from.
Yeah, it wasn't only that, but it was doing that consistently twice a week for 5 years, I think, is probably what.
There you go. Do you have a shortcut to that? All right. Here's the other thing I noticed. Reddit sends you a lot of traffic. How do you get traffic from Reddit? I think I'm down to like 0%, 0.0 coming from Reddit.
Well, I think Reddit is just naturally ties into the Nerd Fitness audience. You know, the audience at Nerd Fitness is a group of people, both men and women, that spend all day at a desk job generally and are on their computers. And they happen to also love online communities, Reddit being one of the most popular, engaging communities out there, and as a result of that, a lot of Nerd Fitness readers also happen to be Reddit users. So they, I don't post any of my stuff over there. Somebody else from Nerd Fitness happens to post those things on there.
Someone else in the Nerd Fitness community, or someone who works for you?
Oh no, somebody from the community. Yeah,
from the community.
I think
the way to see which posts are coming from Reddit is to do reddit.com/domain/, in this case, nerdfitness.com. And that's given me a sense of the kind of articles that are written there about you, like how to live like James Bond for a weekend. That's you, right?
Yeah, that was me.
Red pill diet plan, intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting, sending you a good amount of traffic in general.
Yeah, I think we searched like second or third and intermittent, maybe second. Jeez.
And if you're not doing anything actively to get in there.
No, to be honest with you, I'm just focusing on, you know, I try not to look at, worry too much about those systems, because I think the what's popular today is not going to be popular tomorrow. I think how Google searches today might not be the same tomorrow. So like if I built my business around focusing on those things, I could be in serious trouble if anything changes. So I just try to focus on helping the people that I have. And if those things happen to like them too, like that's great, but it's not a central focus for sure.
Okay. So we got the ebook, but ebook is not getting you to 500,000 in sales, right?
Right.
Courses are the next big milestone for you for revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm intentionally, by the way, excited about this and talking about your revenues, not because I care only about revenues. I picked you to go really in depth into how to do this because I think you're someone who people, if they learn from, aren't going to be disgusted by what they do. You know, I could bring people on here. They could make so much more money than you. But I know that the audience, when it comes down to copying a lot of the methods, are going to feel a little sleazy. I want us to feel proud of our work, especially if it's something you've written. I could really put some food out there that I'm not excited about because it has more fat in it or whatever. Maybe you can, but I could. I don't care about other stuff the way I care about ideas. They represent you. They outlive you. And so I like the way that you put your ideas out there. So I'm not pushing because I care only about your revenue.
Sure.
I'm pushing because I care about your ideas and your and the person that you are. And so I want to learn about your revenue.
Sure.
So courses. The first course that you created was?
We had that first ebook was Rebel Fitness Guide. And to be honest with you, I had those three ebooks. It was the Rebel Fitness Guide. And then about a year after that, I put out the Rebel Strength Guide. And then 6 months after that was the Rebel Running Guide. And those three ebooks were 95% of my revenue, 90% of my revenue for over 2 years, two and a half years almost. And it really wasn't until this past fall, so October of 2013, that I decided that it was time that these ebooks needed an update and that there was a better way for us to impact people instead of just giving them an ebook and hoping they would read it. I thought we had a better chance to get more people to be successful in their weight loss journeys or whatever by creating an interactive course and having a community aspect to it, because I think that's such a strong part of Nerd Fitness. So we started working on this idea called the Nerd Fitness Academy, and I wanted to ultimately replace our ebooks with this new academy. So instead of confusing people like, do I need this ebook or this one, make it very simple. Like if you're brand new to Nerd Fitness, you're going to buy Men's Fitness 101 or Women's Fitness 101. There's no decision to be made. It's very simple. This is going to give you every single thing you need to get started and remove any possible barrier to entry that you have, whether it's confusion or lack of confidence in a gym or whatever it may be. We're going to take care of those things. So I was a little scared about replacing 90% of my revenue with an unproven project. So what we did in October was we did the Women's Fitness 101 in October, and it was like a 4-day, we're going to do a beta launch, just like I'd done with my first ebook, and said, hey, we're selling this just to women. It's only available for 4 days. We are in beta mode with it. We're going to work with the women and see how things go over these next 3 months, and then on January 1st, officially push the academy out to everybody. And unexpectedly, you know, I knew Nerd Fitness was I hoped it would do well, but I didn't expect it to do as well as it did. We ended up doing, I think it was like $140,000, $150,000 worth of revenue in those 4 days alone. And that that was more than I had ever possibly imagined to do on a single, you know, in a week. I mean, let alone in a year. So that was a fun couple of days. So we put the course out there. The women really appreciate it. They gave us some valuable feedback. And then on January 1st of this year, we had another really kick-ass launch on January 1st, launching both the Men's Fitness 101 and Women's Fitness 101, having taken down our ebooks back in December and saying, like, ebooks are gone. This is the future. We now have our two courses. And now our goal, like I did before, ask the people in Nerd Fitness, what other things do you want to learn about, whether it's yoga or running or whatever, cooking properly, and then we can create new courses underneath this Nerd Fitness Academy umbrella. And
once I'm in the Nerd Fitness Academy, if I sign up for the apprentice level, I'm paying $59. Am I also getting all the other levels?
Once you get into the apprentice, if you want to upgrade, so there's two levels. We have like the way we looked at it was like there's the course material, and that's apprentice, and then we have like the class itself, which is the $99 version. And the $99 version has, you know, there's interviews, there's a community, et cetera, et cetera. So I think I was looking at it as more like for somebody that needs more of their handheld, then the bigger one is a better option for them. Whereas if they are somebody that's more of a self-starter, then they can buy the cheaper one and then do things on their own terms and keep themselves accountable.
It's not about tools, but I still want to understand the tools.
Sure.
What platform did you build your community on?
So we used a combination of MemberMouse and IP board, and then we use Stripe for payment processing. And then there's like a funky plugin that goes back and forth between IP board and MemberMouse. So when you log into MemberMouse, you can then see like the Academy message board. Honestly, it has been clunky as hell and a real challenging thing to deal with, but you know, it got us through our launch. And now I'm excited now that we've proven, hey, this is successful and people are really interested in it and it's helping people. Now we can kind of get back in there and continuously do updates and make the
course. What's the clunky part of it?
Just the technology aspect of it. You know, we have developed web developers that have helped with you know, kind of getting these two systems to talk to each other, and they don't necessarily like each other. And not only that, but you know, you see things like you know, Khan Academy or whatever it may be, and seeing how successful they are. And I'm just—it's been a little frustrating to have some technical issues be that hurdle that are keeping some technical issues that I think we can get out of the way, so that there are even less speed bumps on the road for somebody.
What did it cost you to get the developers to put it together?
Let's see. Definitely less than, I want to say, $6,000, maybe $8,000.
And that includes the developers, the software. Does it also include the design?
Yes. So actually, we used the design from our previous Nerd Fitness site, and I had a buddy of mine. We drew the Academy logos and things like that. So we tried to get it up and running as cheaply as possible, while still providing as much functionality as.
What's your buddy's name? He's beautiful. I don't know how beautiful he is, but his work is beautiful.
I'm sorry?
What's your buddy's name? His work is beautiful.
Oh, well, the website design itself was done by Chase Reeves, who over at he runs a website called Fizzle with Corbin Barr and those guys.
Chase,
oh,
you know, just spectacular. Yeah. That guy's got an eye.
He's good. He and I actually sat down together side by side in San Francisco for 4 days. I stayed at his house for 4 or 5 days, and we went through and he redid the entire Nerd Fitness site. And it was kind of cool to sit next to him.
4 days?
Yeah, 4 or 5 days. He designed the entire thing in 4 or 5 days. And it was great because I was sitting right next to him. So you're like, what do you think, this or this? I'm like, that. He goes, how about this, this, and that? Great. So I would just sit there and do my work, and then we'd go back. It was pretty cool.
That guy is so damn talented. I've seen his other work. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay. Where else do I want? Well, what goes into it? So we know that there's a community. Mm-hmm. We know that there are lessons. Do you dole out the lessons a little at a time, or are they all in there?
Yeah, so they're all in there, but they're all set. So this is part of the, you know, working on adding more functionality. Specifically right now, we're trying to add a homework component so people can literally type in at the end of each lesson. Like if we give them a mission, they can type it directly into the Academy instead of, you know, having to keep it separately. So there are lessons, there are videos that they can watch. There is an exercise component, and the entire thing is scalable so that it'll work on your phone. It'll work on your iPad. It'll work on your computer. Again, we wanted to remove any barrier that people might have, and that confusion might be like, oh, what am I supposed to do in the gym? Or I can't print out this thing. I can't print out this PDF. It's like, great. Well, just pull it up on your phone and sign in, and you can see all of your workouts.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Boy, this is – what about in the community? How do you keep the conversation focused and not have it go in so many different directions that you don't even know – how to help out in the future?
The community specifically for the Academy or just the Nerd Fitness community in general?
The Academy.
Academy. You know, I have a couple of people that actually were really prominent and supportive members of the actual Nerd Fitness community that also happen to be personal trainers or, you know, people that are in the fitness industry or have a strong passion for it. And I've, hired them or worked with, you know, working with them to help me in these communities identify the direction that things need to go. We actually just sent out a survey last week saying, hey guys, we'd love to hear how things are going with you in the academy for these first 6 weeks. We have a lot of updates in store, but we want to know which ones are most important to you. So really kind of putting it on them and saying, like, guys, this is yours and I want to make this better. Tell us what we can do to make this better and tell us the thing that you really enjoy and things that are maybe frustrating to you. And we can focus on those things. To be honest with you, why Nerd Fitness, I think, in the community, both in the academy and in Nerd Fitness in general, has been so successful is because we've just been able to recruit the right kind of people with our writing and the messaging that we send and telling people that are just looking for get fit quick things and supplement advice that this is not the site for them. We're bringing in the right kind of people that are supportive and happy and working on getting healthier and want to help others around them. So I think by recruiting the right kind of people, they in turn recruit their friends and so on and so forth. So we're bringing the right kind of people together and then providing them with the tools and the platform to interact with each other and help each other get better.
Check this out. Let me put something in Skype chat for you. This is one thing that I looked at in my research and preparing for you. That's what your website looked like so many years ago. The message board. I grabbed that. The awesome. Message board says,
"Wow,
coming soon."
With a preamble.
With the what?
Yeah. Oh, man. That is so old. That's great. I didn't end up putting message boards on the site until about a year and a couple of months after I started. And it wasn't until I had written that guest post on Art of Manliness that I had realized, like, I need to give this community a way to, for them to interact with each other if this is going to become what it's going to become. And now we're at the point where we have, like, 25,000 people on our message boards, and it's crazy. But, yeah, that's a blast for the past. Wow.
I'm on what that page eventually became. Yeah, I see 24,209 total members. Look at how far you've come. That's why I did it. I mean, that's why I sent you that screenshot. That's how far you've come. Not even a message board back then, just a coming soon. This beautiful design, just a off-the-shelf design. So cool to see this. I want to ask you for personal advice on something that I'm about to do before we wrap up. But first, let me say this to the audience. So much of what we've talked about in here, I think if you're inspired by it, if you want to do it, we have a few courses within Mixergy Premium that will help you do this. If it's about how to start a membership site and how to keep it growing, I've got Stu McLaren. He is the creator of Wishlist Member, a membership site software that talks about how we did it. If it's about guest blogging, we have a guest blogging course that I'm going to recommend to you. Actually, two different ones. One is by Leo from Buffer, who talks about how to create content that's spreadable, how to create content and get it on other sites. He is fan-frickin-tastic. You probably have seen Leo's work all over the internet. And now, if you sign up to Mixergy Premium, you'll hear his philosophy, you'll see his approach, and understand why you're seeing posts by him on Lifehacker, even though Lifehacker doesn't seem to the outsider to be such a perfect fit for Buffer. But you'll see that it is, because it sends him certain kind of traffic. So you'll see his point of view, and you'll see how he acts on it. There's another one that I put out a long time ago that is still one of my best, with Annabelle Candy. I said, Annabelle, you're so good at getting guest posts. Can you please teach our audience? And she did, and we walk you through it in step-by-step format. That's the whole message here. That's the whole process. If this is something you want, just go to mixergypremium.com. I guarantee you'll love it. And if I don't deliver, you can get 100% of your money back. 100% of your money back. And you know you can count on me, because I'm not one of these shady guys on the internet who is operating from I don't know where. I'm here talking to guys like Steve and talking to people like Brian Clark. I'm not going anywhere. Those people will never do interviews here if I take your money and run, which is why all I want to do is just keep delivering for you. So if you go sign up to mixergypremium.com, you'll see the very first question I ask is, how do I deliver for you? And then I'll do it right there. Go sign up. All right, here's the advice that I'm looking for from you, and I'm a little bit selfish here, but what I've learned by watching other people who've interviewed me is the more selfishly they ask questions, the more useful the answers are, you know, as opposed to pretending that they're asking a question for an audience. Sure. When they ask it for themselves, it's useful. I want to create a small community for a part of my audience. I've actually got the software in place. Last night, Bob Heiler wrote it. I've got everything ready. We're going to start launching it in hopefully a few hours. Got any advice for me for how I can make it useful, how I can keep myself from going crazy, how I can get it from going out of control? I'm a little, as you can see, nervous about having a community.
Yeah, honestly, and I don't blame you for being a little nervous. I think, you know, message boards and communities online can be like one step above YouTube comments as far as quality, depending on the type of community it is. So I was definitely nervous about those same things. Fortunately, I think for you, you already have a really quality group of people that are in your audience, and now you're just getting to give them that platform so that they can start interacting with each other. When I first started, I think something that was really important to me, I kind of look at it like a party, almost like a party analogy. So if you have 20 people that are trying to come to your party, but they all show up 5 minutes apart, don't see anybody there, and they all leave, or they show up 5 minutes apart and each person sees that nobody's there and they take off, it's not going to work. However, if you can get all 20 people to show up to your party at the same time, or more importantly, get 5 of your best friends to show up before the party even starts to make it a great party, then as people start to trickle in, they'll see there's a great party, and each additional person makes that party even better. So,
I see. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. So first thing for me to think about is, how do I get them all in there at the same time so that it feels like there's activity there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The best way that I found to do that was, actually I launched my message boards with a contest. And for me, it was simple. It was like, hey guys, I'm getting ready to travel in 6 weeks. Therefore, 6 weeks from now, or actually I think at the time it was 4 weeks. 4 weeks from now, I want to be in better shape than I'm in right now. These are my 3 goals that I'm going to pick. I'm going to write about them on my message boards. I would love for your comments on how I'm doing. I would love for you to join me. And I want you to post your battle log. Kind of like how things are going at the gym, or what you're working on, what you're struggling with, etc. And at the end of these 4 weeks, we'll pick a winner from somebody that has leveled up their life the most, and give them, I think at the time, geez, even today, I think we just give them a free t-shirt. And it was surprised how many people were so excited to be part of this, and that contest gave them that accountability. So almost immediately, even though it was at the time, it was only maybe 50 to 70 people that were joining the community, they were really excited and fired up about it. So when we had that core group of people, as more and more people stumbled across those message boards, they saw that the party was already happening. It was something they wanted to become a part of. And it kind of became like that self-fulfilling prophecy, like, oh, I need to be here because this is awesome. And then because more people were joining it, it became better. Because Nerd Fitness was attracting the right kind of people, our message boards became like the thing probably about Nerd Fitness I am most proud of is the community that has sprung up around Nerd Fitness. And then one thing beyond that is, identify the people that are in your community that are being the most supportive or providing the most help or being the most active, and celebrate them and give them the authority, or give them some leeway to help shape it. Those are your rock stars and the people that are going to help you out the most. Right now we have 30 volunteer moderators. And I let them drive our message boards. And I say, like, what do you guys need? How can we make this better? What kind of contests do you want to run? Here you go. When I started, it was just me publishing, or it was just me posting, until I saw that there were some other people doing great jobs. And I said, you guys are now moderators. Thank you. You get a special title next to your name, and people are going to start to look at you for advice. And now actually one of my full-time people that work with me at Nerd Fitness is somebody that came through the message boards, that became a moderator, then a super moderator, then started helping with some things. And she's now a full-time Nerd Fitness team member.
This has been a great interview. I am going to ask my audience to do a couple of things. First, you guys remember how earlier in the interview that Steve said that he contacted the great Brett McKay and just started talking to him. I'm going to suggest you do the same thing. Not necessarily to Brett, but if you love Brett, send him a note. But to Steve, send him a note if you got anything of value from him. Frankly, for Steve, for Brett, for anyone out there, if you got anything of value from them on the internet, don't be a taker. Don't start with a request. Send a note that just says thank you. Oh, I'm telling you, it'll go a long way.
Those are the best. Right? Oh, it makes you feel so freaking good.
Short note, say thank you. And let me give you another tip. Be specific about something. So not thank you for teaching me, but thank you for, and then come up with one little specific thing. It doesn't have to be the be all and end all. It doesn't have to be the most important thing that you did. But one of the things that I learned when I used to volunteer for Dale Carnegie. And one of the things that I learned from that organization is, when you want to give someone a compliment that they really appreciate, be specific about something. So thank you for showing me how you got the first traffic. Thank you for whatever. Do it with Steve, do it with anyone. I urge you to find a way to do it because good things come from that. That's the first thing. The second thing I'm going to suggest is we didn't even get into the number of email addresses that the number of people who are on Steve's mailing list. What are they? Do you feel comfortable saying what the numbers?
Yeah, it's 168,000.
168,000. If you go to nerdfitness.com, you're frankly not going to register a blip on his traffic numbers because he has a lot of traffic. But what you will do for yourself is you're going to see at the very top one way why he gets over 160,000 people on his mailing list. It's a top thing. You'll see him with his shirt kind of pulled over, undershirt underneath.
Superman.
And I think that'll give you an understanding of one other technique for getting subscribers, if that's what you're into. And while you're there, look around. Obviously, I think the site is beautiful and it's well done. Steve, thank you so much for doing this. How do you feel it went for you?
Great. Honestly, that was really cool. And I love the questions you had. Honestly, that was great. I had a lot of fun with it.
Thank you. As you can see, we put hours and hours of research into these interviews because I want to make sure that they deliver for you and for the audience.
Love it.
Thank you. Thank you all for being a part of it. Bye, guys.